Here's our card, dear. It tells you what's wrong with you on the left side and what you want to be on the right. And then there's a prayer in the back that if you follow that, you'll do it. Before we begin, I'm going to ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen. We're going to read more about alcoholism tonight. On Saturday, we are on the 11th step, if you can join us. On Saturday, we're finishing the handout from the steps we took. It was very good. People said it was good yesterday. Powerful stuff. I'll have more handouts. On Wednesday night at 7:30, we are at a different part of the book. We're on the fourth step. And we're doing fear. And we're going to finish the second step proposition exercise on fear. So if you can join us, I'll have the handouts if you haven't been here before. For those who are new who haven't been here a while, we've been doing this meeting. It'll be finished 11 years. The last Saturday will mark the beginning of the 12th year. So I think I've done about 1,500 meetings or something. I hope it's helped somebody. It's helped me. And we're at different parts of the book. We have a site, experiencethebigbook.org, and we have 300 podcasts, all the big book, and we have 77 thoughts on recovery. And so if that's helpful, you might check it out. I heard something when Roy was talking about, somebody said if you do everything in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you'll never drink again. If you follow those directions and you continue to do it, you'll never drink again. Those are the instructions on 4 through 11. You'll never drink again. I think that's true. That's one of the reasons why I started this meeting, was after my son died, God said, teach the big book so that somebody can do it. They don't have to die in their car at 4 in the morning. Because I believe everything is in here that I need. It's complete. Now, you may not need this. If you don't, that's fine. By the way, we'll be paying rent, so be generous when you give your contributions. This chapter, more about alcoholism, is between the solution and we agnostics. And it's a powerful chapter, and it's designed to hammer home one point. And it finishes the first 43 pages in Doctor's Opinion, which is really all on step one. And it's to hammer home. It says on page 43 at the end of the chapter, it's always good to read the ending first. The alcoholic, anybody alcoholic in here?
You're here.
At certain times means you don't know when, has no effective mental defense against the first drink. Now think about that. You have no effective mental defense against the first drink. I don't have an effective mental defense against the first drink today. Well, how can you say that? How can I do the meeting? Well, because on my own power, I never have an effective defense. I have to seek the power that gives me the power of choice, which is God. And the next line says, in a few rare cases, they don't want to say absolutes, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. Human beings can't help you from taking the first drink. Now, they can help you work the steps, and they can help you with the fellowship, and they can help you with support, but God has to be the one. And it says his defense must come from a higher power. And higher power is that which has all power, which we call God in AA. If you don't like the word God, you can say higher power. When you get tired of saying higher power, you can say God. But it's your God as you understand him. It's no one else's. So let's begin and look at this chapter. More about alcoholism. Most of us, which means really all of us, have been unwilling to admit, think about it, unwilling to admit to myself that I was a real alcoholic. Anybody see that? Anybody had that problem? And in fact, I think when people drink again, they tell themselves they're not a real alcoholic. And he's going to describe how they believe that it's going to be different this time. And when your mind can do that, you can't rely on your mind as an effective mental defense, because your mind will trick you. So you need a relationship with God, and God will say, no, Michael, bad idea. You're a real alcoholic. Now, what is a real alcoholic? Why'd they say we're alcoholics? What's a real alcoholic? What is an alcoholic? An alcoholic is a person who has three things wrong with them. One, if they take alcohol in their body, they can't control how much they drink. Anybody have that? Now, if that's your only problem, your solution is very simple. You don't need to be here. You don't need the big book. You can leave right now. Just don't drink. But real alcoholics, control yourself, Greg. Real alcoholics have another problem. They cannot, on their own, choose whether to drink or not. They have lost the power of choice. So there's two C's, loss of control. Anybody have that in here? We still have it. If I drink today, can you imagine if we brought a few kegs in here? What the parking lot would look like at 1 in the morning and the fights and the, all right, let's get back to the top. Choice, power of choice. I cannot choose on my own whether I'm going to drink or not. And then the third thing that it makes you a real alcoholic is that we have an alcoholic addiction. It's the doctor says we have an alcoholic addiction, and we are addicted to the sense of ease and comfort that we get by taking the first drink. Real alcoholics cannot live sober. Now, everybody thinks alcoholism occurs after you take the first drink. No, that's just trouble from the effects of alcohol. Alcoholism occurs when you're sober. You don't have any alcohol in your body. You don't have a way to live so that you can be comfortable, and you take alcohol as a solution for that. We live a self-centered world. We don't like the way things are going. We get emotional, our emotions build up, and when they reach a certain level, my mind says, get a drink. Now, why does my mind say that? Because in the past, it worked. It used to work, but it stops working at a certain point. And so the treatment of alcoholism is to learn how to live sober and control your emotions so that you don't get to the point where you have to drink. And then when you have a relationship with God, that's where you get your emotions at the level that's acceptable. Does this make sense? And so the solution is God. A relationship with God, a way of living that's God-centered, and if you stay connected to God, then you will seek God instead of alcohol. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. I don't think that's true. Everybody in this room thinks they're unique, right? We're all special, right? Exactly. Alcoholics think they're all bodily and mentally different from everybody else. Either worse or better, and it could change in the same minute. Therefore, it's not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. Is that true of people in this room? Wouldn't it be great? But it's never going to happen. And right before you take that first drink, you must think you're going to be able to control and enjoy it this time. Your mind must tell you it's okay. Now, why won't willpower work when you know it's not going to be good when you drink? You wake up in the morning, you say, I'm not going to drink today. You take a polygraph and you pass it. 5 o'clock, you're in the liquor store. How does that happen? Because when your mind says to get a drink, it can't see what it's going to do to you, only for you. So alcoholics are focused on the relief they're going to get from the booze, and they can't see how it's going to be bad. In fact, most people feel better on the way to the liquor store, or when they get the pills, they have the pills. They're already feeling better. They haven't even taken them yet. Because we know it's coming, the relief. And what's the relief from? A self-centered way of life, which we're in conflict with everybody and everything. We're full of anger and fear, and we harm a lot of people. Now, the big book's not going to talk about that till page 60, because they don't want people to stop reading yet. They're just trying to teach, to let you know what an alcoholic is. So I may be going too much. Somebody's probably not going to come back now. Is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. Now here, the persistence of this illusion. An illusion is a false idea of belief is astounding. It is astounding. People don't understand this. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Anybody think that paragraph's true? Powerful. Describes it really well. This book is so well written. So here's the first step in recovery. What's the first step in recovery? Anybody know? Well, it's here, but everybody thinks it's the first step of the program. But the first step of recovery is this. I had learned, this is what they learned, that if they didn't fully concede, and concede means to admit something true or valid after first denying or resisting it. So they had to fully concede to their innermost self. Now, this isn't like waking up one day and say, gee, you know, I'm an alcoholic. This is the deep inner truth that they were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. Because until you fully concede to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic, you can't admit you're powerless over alcohol. Now, in the program of recovery, does it say anywhere that you admit you're an alcoholic? No. It's from admitting you're an alcoholic that you realize you're powerless over alcohol. Now, if alcohol has power over you, and it's a liquid in a bottle, think about that. It has power over you, that means you have no power over it, and it means you have no God in your life. That's what that means. Now, alcohol in a bottle is an inert, it's a liquid, right? So how does it have power over you? In your mind. Your mind seeks it because it's going to relieve living sober without God. And so you're going to have a whole change in your whole personality and your whole outlook on life to recover from this thing. And that's what the steps are about. You're going to have to destroy your self-centeredness and go from self-centered to God-centered. The delusion. Delusion is a belief that is firmly maintained despite evidence to the contrary. So it's not good to have a delusion. We are like other people, it has to be smashed. Good. We alcoholics, does everybody get this now? Powerful two paragraphs. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our thinking. No, it says drinking, but it's really our thinking. We can't control our thinking. S-H-I-T is my problem, simply how I think. It's my thinking that caused me problems. Because it's my thinking that causes my resentments and my fears and my harmful conduct. It's my thinking that caused me to be satisfied with life. It's my thinking that says I need a drink. We know that no real alcoholic ever recovers control. Doctor's opinions affirm that. There's never going to be a treatment of the phenomenon of craving, which is after you put alcohol in your body, you crave a second drink. Did anybody ever have that? In fact, I don't know if 3 kegs would be enough. Probably not. How many people are in here? Probably need 40 kegs. We never, ever recover control. So therefore, it's insane for us to take the first drink. Now, this chapter is going to spend the first 4 pages talking about control. And then it's going to talk about the obsession of the mind. And then it's going to hammer home at the end that we have no defense against the first drink except through God. And then the next chapter is we agnostics, which is how we have a relationship with God, how we change our mind about God, how we break down the barriers to coming to believe that God can help us. It says, sometimes we felt we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control. which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. That's not good, by the way. Anybody have that? Mm-hmm. At the end, I think we all have that. And then we're given the grace of God comes into our lives, and I could see the truth at that moment of truth, and I could say I'm completely defeated. And I could see the truth, and I could ask for help. You're not going to ask for help unless you're completely defeated. And when you ask for help sincerely, when you're completely defeated, help will come. Now, if you can sustain that feeling of completely defeated and continue to seek help, you'll never drink again. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to remember that moment of complete defeat all the time so that we're seeking God all the time. If you forget the moment of defeat, somebody said, you'll repeat it. Mm. Now, people come here and they have pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. They cry, they're emotional, their lives are a mess, they want this. But somehow, they forget how bad it was. They forget that moment of complete defeat. And then the idea of a drink comes into their head and they have no defense against it. So just remembering how bad it was won't help you. But remembering how bad it was to surrender to God and work the steps is the key. So the surrender without action is fantasy. It won't change anything. We are convinced, man, that alcoholics of our type are in a grip of progressive illness. Over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. And even if you stop drinking for a long time, if you drink again, you'll want the second drink if you're an alcoholic. Did anybody go to the liquor store and just buy like a little bottle? You know, I guess if you didn't have anybody. But you see, we always have to make sure we had enough, right? Anybody else have that? Now, remember, there's a warning label that they should put on every bottle. Did you know that? You know that? You've heard this? They asked AA to come to Congress in the 50s because they wanted to put a warning label on alcohol. So AA came and they said, we have no opinion on anything. But you might want to put on the bottle, this will run out. That's the truth, right? Yes. We are like men who have lost their legs. We never grow new ones. Neither does there appear to be any kind of treatment which will make alcoholics of our kind like other men. They've tried to find a pill so that we'll take it and we'll be able to control our drinking. But the problem is we take more than one pill, right? And they can't fix our allergy. Nothing can fix our allergy to alcohol. We have tried every imaginable remedy. In some instances, there have been brief recovery. Now, recovery is to return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. And relapse is deterioration after a period of improvement. So when we say people relapse, then we assume they improve for a while, and then things deteriorate. And then they drink again. But remember, until they have that relationship with God and the spiritual waking, they have no defense against the first drink. We said half measures avail you what?
Nothing.
Full measures give you everything. So we want to be full measure people, right? And how do you know if you're a full measure person? Are you doing everything you can? Are you working with someone? Are you helping someone? Are you sponsoring someone? Are you working the steps? Do you do 10 and 11 every day? Despite all we could say, many who are real alcoholics are not going to believe they're in that class. By every form of self-deception and experimentation, they will try to prove themselves exceptions to the rule, therefore non-alcoholic. And a lot of people die trying to do that. Most people never get the AA. Our success rate's very low. Nobody wants to advertise it. Probably less than 1% stay sober for 10 or 15 years. Probably less than 1% stay sober for 5 years. But most alcoholics never make it to AA. And they're, 10% of the population? Think how many alcoholics there are in the United States, 30, 40 million. If anyone is showing inability to control his drinking, could do the right about face and drink like a gentleman, our hats are off to him. Heaven knows we have tried hard enough and long enough to drink like other people. my sponsor, Cliff, used to say, somebody would blabber at the meeting, you know, he'd say, buy him more booze. Because that's the only thing that's going to bring you to your knees, is to continue to drink and living the way you are. And hopefully you'll have that moment of grace when you'll have complete defeat. And I think everybody gets that. God gives everybody that, but some people don't sustain it. And then they don't take it as the gift it is. Because we know God wants us to get sober. You know why? He gave us this book. This is Spiritual Principles. It follows all the principles of the New Testament. Here's some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours. Now, if you wonder if you're an alcoholic, if you've ever done any of those things, you're an alcoholic. Now, another thing I've noticed, and I can't say it's 100%, but nobody who comes here is not an alcoholic, really. People don't come to AA by mistake. Now, a lot of people don't want to admit it at first, but I think God sent them here, and I don't think anybody comes here by mistake. Now, what you do with the gift is up to you. Because remember, God won't do for you what you could do for yourself. But he gets us here, and then he puts people in our lives, and hopefully we use them to get to him. Switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wine, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, probably signing a statement, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing off forever, with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms, accepting voluntary commitment. You see, it goes on and on. They're all maneuvers to deny the truth. We do not like to pronounce any individual alcoholic. Now, somebody said you're not supposed to tell anybody they're an alcoholic. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? We don't like to tell them they're an alcoholic, but remember when they went to AA number 3, they told Bill Dodson he was an alcoholic. And they told him they had a solution. And they gave him hope. And he recovered. And you can read that in A Vision for You. And you can read his story in the big book. Very powerful. In A Vision for You, which we'll cover, you can see when they went to Bill Dodson. It's about page 155 or something. But you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. They had the Marty Mann rule. Drink 2 drinks a day for 1 month. See if you could just do 2 drinks a day for 1 month. And if you can, then you're not an alcoholic. Alcoholic won't be able to do that. It won't take long for you to decide if you're honest about yourself. Though there's no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. I don't know if that's true. Maybe. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there's yet time. So there's some point in each alcoholic when you lose choice. You've all lost control. So you never regain control. So they have lost control, but they could have chosen to quit. Now, some people can quit if they're given a sufficient reason. Those are called hard drinkers. But if you're a real alcoholic, you must have a spiritual solution because it's a spiritual problem. We've heard of instances where people were able to stop for a long period of time for overwhelming desire to do so. A strong feeling of wanting to have something or something happen. And here's one. Now, this story is really very interesting. They call it a man of 30. So this is a guy who was 30 years old, was doing a great deal of spree drinking, very nervous in the morning after these bouts, and quiet himself with more liquor. But here was the deal for this guy. He was ambitious to succeed in business. The ambition to succeed was greater with his higher power. And he saw that he couldn't get that if he drank. So because he had no control. So here's what he did. He made up his mind not to quit drinking forever, but to wait until he had been successful and retired. See, success was very important to him. That was the ease and comfort that he wanted from life. And he would get that through his work and his success, and then he could drink. You see how it worked for him? An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55. after a successful and happy business career, and he was happy. Why? Because he got what he wanted. But now what he got what he wanted, he got what he really wanted, which was to drink. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. Now, I've heard also people I've worked with, they come in and they're sober for 90 days. And they say, you know, I could quit. I quit for 90 days. I can do it any time. I can handle this, right? And then they drink, and then a lot of times we never see them again. See how you can change it? And that's why I'm very careful when I give birthdays, they ask how you let God do it. Once we start taking credit for our sobriety on our own, then we're in trouble. We're all here today because of God. And that's who we have to be grateful to and seek and follow all the time. Once I think I've got this down, you know, I probably have most of the big book memorized. That won't help me. I could drink quoting the last few pages. But the point of this is that I know all the time that I need God. I don't think... I like to follow what Chuck C. says, every thought's a prayer. And I try to keep a dialogue with God all the time. Now, there are periods like yesterday at 9:20 when I don't know that it was perfect, but by 9:25 I was pretty good, right, Dick? So, all right, that's a joke. I thought it was funny. Out came the carpet slippers in a bottle. In 2 months he was in the hospital, humiliated. Then he tried to regulate his drinking, but we know that can't work. And then here, he gathered all of his forces, the successful man, and he found he could not. And then I wrote that the successful and happy business career wasn't enough to give him peace. He still needed alcohol, you see, that sense of ease and comfort. Every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. This case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remained sober for a long stretch, we could therefore drink normally. And they want you to abandon that idea. You're never going to be able to control your drinking. We have seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's why it's important to fully concede to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic. And remember that all the time, so that you don't convince yourself that it's going to be different this time. But remember, you have no defense against your thinking, and your thinking will trick you and tell you it's going to be different. So we're in deep trouble. That's what they're trying to get across in this book to page 58, is that you're in trouble. And then we have the steps, and then we talk about the selfishness and self-centeredness in step 3, and how life run and self-will can never be successful. And then we make a decision to have God to be our director, and then we follow through on that with steps 4 through 9 and live in 10, 11, and 12. That's how the book's laid out. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in short time as bad as ever. If we're planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind or any lurking notion that someday you will be immune to alcohol. Now, Dr. Bob used to ask people, are they done? Are they going to quit for good? Now, a lot of people say, well, you only have to not drink today. Well, I don't know. That's not what this book's about. This book is about is being done for good and being convinced in your mind that you can never drink again and then seeking the power so you don't have to drink. Now, of course, we do it one day at a time, which is different than just not drinking today, because a lot of people could just not drink for several days in a row. But then eventually there'll be a certain time when they have no defense against the first drink. Has anybody done that? A lot of people in this room have done that. Young people may encouraged by this man's experience to think they could stop. Now, they thought a young person when they wrote the book was like 35 or 40, because they were all over 35. Dr. Bob, Clarence Snyder, who started AA in Cleveland, he was like 35 or 33 when his wife sent him to Akron, and Dr. Bob thought he was too young because they didn't have, you know, it was 1935, it was a different world. And now we have two problems because we have alcohol and drugs, and the drugs are so dangerous that people, when they have both disorders, it's hard to live a long time with active drug and alcohol addiction. It takes a long time to die from alcohol to get cirrhosis. It takes years, but you can die any day with drugs and mixing them with alcohol. That's the problem we have. That's why there's so many people, or most people are dual addicts who come in now, and it's very dangerous. We have a real crisis in our society. But I believe if you're a dual addict and you follow everything in this book, you'll be okay. If you do everything in chapter 4 and 5, you don't have to use or drink again. We doubt if many can do because none really want to stop, or hardly one of them because of the, quote, peculiar mental twist already acquired. We'll find it coming out. And that's what they're going to talk about. And I think we're going to stop here. The queer mental, peculiar mental twist, which is that you tell yourself it's okay to drink. Now, you must tell yourself it's okay to drink or you wouldn't get the alcohol, right? And so you cannot want to drink and be fully convinced that you never want to drink again and then still drink. Now, I consider that a bad situation. That's a very bad situation. People, we joke around a lot, but this is a fatal disease. And unless we find that power in our life to give us a defense against drinking, we're not going to make it. And so I think I'll end with that. And that's why I take this so seriously. And then next week we'll pick up, and remind me so I don't review too much, on page 33, and we're going to look about the queer mental twist, and we're going to talk about Jim, and then we'll do the Roadrunner, the Jaywalker, and then we'll do Fred. And those stories are so powerful. And for those who are new, I've done all these before, they're on the site. You can listen to any of this whole chapter if you want. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Mike.